do have quite a few more questions. I suspect we may not have enough time to get across all of them. We'll make an attempt at it. One question I think would be related, Vince, to the presentation you gave, asking about the base. It says in base, when we are updating that base acreage, will it, acres and yields be available for update, or will it be limited as far as your understanding of how things are set up at this point?
Oh, no, it's definitively both acres and yields. It's a complex little world, but your yields, your base acres, your total farm-wide base acres are fixed, but how you allocate them between crops is contingent on what you planted over the last 4 years, by which they mean, I think, 2009, 10, 11, and 12. So you can reallocate that total base acreage among the crops you raised over that four-year period according to the proportion of your land you put into each crop. Your yields can be updated using a five-year period, which would be 2008 through 2012, and your payment yield, your adjusted yield would be 90% of that average. That's a huge deal for crops like corn and soybeans, where yields have really jumped since the mid-80s and also since 2002. That's a big deal. So you update both your yields and your acres in the sense of how you allocate, say, the 4,000 acres of base or the 1,000 acres of base that your farm currently has. The yield updating is hugely beneficial under any criterion for most crops. One point that I want to make on PLC, John, whilst we're at it, is that Jonathan Coppice is correct. You can choose, say, PLC for wheat and ARC at the county level for corn. So my slide on that is incorrect, and Jonathan is entirely correct. I just wanted to get that in case we skip that question.
All right, great. Thank you for that. We have a question here. Maybe, Nathan, you could answer this. Is a little broader in scope. Question about do any of the issues that we've been discussing this morning and or how do they affect the small producer and perhaps combined with that fruits and vegetables? How are those crops handled as far as the new farm bill and what are the implications for some of these detailed discussions that we're having this morning, and how will they affect those folks?
Right, that's a good question. So, understanding, I guess it's almost handle that in two parts. One being the small producer, and really, I guess when you look at the Title I and the fact that you can update bases and yields, and that payments are tied to that, it's really, basically goes to supporting production. And so as far as the small producer, you know, there's provision in there in the last farm bill where, you know, smaller than 10 acres did not have payments, but there was exceptions for limited resource and disadvantaged farmers. So those, I'm assuming, will still be, you know, in effect, in terms of being able to receive payments on small bases or even small basers. When you look at all the titles, and I'm one of those, Vince, that didn't read all of the farm bill, that read the parts that are most pertinent to me. But there are programs like in the for specialty crops and for organic production. There are some programs in there. Funding to grow those programs in those areas, farmers markets and so forth. Fruits and vegetables, the main money or support in there is for research and grants to do research on fruits and vegetables in the Hort title. There's also, when you're looking at bases and PLC and ARC payments going to farms with base, there's a restriction that any vegetables or fruits grown on base acres are not eligible for PLC. Those acres that are planted to that to a fruit or vegetable are not eligible for that crop. Now, in the last farm bill, it was for that particular year that it was grown in that crop, and we'll have to see the rules and regs to whether that would still be the same or not. Unless you had a previous history of, say, double cropping watermelons with grain sorghum, like that might happen here in Georgia. But I guess that's the best answer I have right now on that question.
All right. Thank you, Nathan. Looks like the next one I'd like to put to Jonathan. Apologize if you feel like it's unfair, but the questioner asked, based on your comments and insights, when do you believe more details will become available and known, especially for those details needed by producers to make some sort of a decision in going forward?
Yeah, and that's a bit of a tough question. I mean, I think kind of as I mentioned, between now and when the regulations come out of the department, you know, the best that anybody can do is using the statutory language as sort of the way to build, whether it's models and you know, spreadsheets and calculators to try to understand what payments would look like, as well as trying to answer these specific questions about you know, base acres and payment yields and so on and so forth. So right now, I mean, I think we can continue to sort of sort through the bill and try and figure out what we know. But as far as sign up and the specific aspects of the program, that will have to wait until FSA publishes the regulation. Now, as I mentioned, there's an expedited process that won't have to go through the public review and comment time frame. So once they publish them, they would be expected to be final at that time. And so that's when we'll know a lot of these questions, a lot of the details, you know, kind of, if you will, between the lines of the statutory language.
All right, great. Looks like maybe the next one would be best directed to Vince, given his comments. Vince, is the ARC program going to be less beneficial for states with larger counties, such as North Dakota or Montana, where the yield can vary significantly from east to west?
Well, that's a really tough question. I think the answer is that ARC is going to pay off more in counties where yields on average are more volatile than in counties where they're less volatile. So at the margin, if you're, say, corn in an Iowa county versus wheat in a western North Dakota county, ARC is going to pay off a little bit better on average, assuming a certain level of prices. But one thing to understand is that at the county level, most of the payments under the ARC program are going to be driven by price, and price relative to its past five-year average, dropping high and low prices from the series. Because it turns out that yields are a lot less volatile at the county level in most counties than at the individual farm level. So although ARC is described as a revenue program, I think most people who've looked at this question carefully, people like Bruce Babcock and Barry Goodwin, have concluded that the major driver in payments is going to be price volatility rather than yield volatility. And there's a compounding factor here, which is sort of in the weeds, which is when yields are trending upwards and you're using an arithmetic average, you're going to understate the role of yields in the first place. While the question is interesting, I think the answer is it's not volatility within the county that matters so much, assuming you go for the county option. It's whether or not yields are more volatile in county X than county Y. And we sort of know the answer to that question. In the Midwest, for example, yields are a lot less volatile than in, say, West Texas for cotton or West Texas for wheat or Montana for anything.
Okay, thank you. Another one, perhaps Jonathan, this would be best directed to you, given your experience. It asks about limits on crop insurance premiums. What is it that you're anticipating that might actually come about regarding crop insurance subsidies for premiums for farmers under this farm bill?
Well, not for this farm bill, there were no limits put on crop insurance premium subsidy. There was a proposal that passed the Senate that would have put in place an adjusted gross income standard that would have reduced premium subsidy, but that was not included in the final conference report. So that should not, there shouldn't be any income type restrictions. There is a provision dealing with native sod for a limited number of states, the Dakotas, Nebraska, Montana, Minnesota, Iowa, where you could get an increase in your premium if you are planting on native sod. But as far as the AGI, the adjusted gross income, or any kind of cap on premium subsidy, there's nothing in this farm bill. So that should not change under this farm bill.
And this farm bill will be in place until when?
2018. So it'll run through the 2018 crop and calendar fiscal years.
Crop calendar.
Is that right, John? Just a quick question, Jonathan. Is that right, or is it September 30th as with previous farm bills?
Yeah, I mean, again, not to confuse the various calendars, but so for the ARC PLC program, they'll be in place through the 2018 crop year. The general authorities throughout the bill will sunset with fiscal year 2018. Dairy operates on a slightly different crop year. It actually it goes to December 31st. So, but 2018 is the general year that's used across the board, and then it'll go based on those commodities or based on those various calendar aspects.
Right, I understand.
Okay,
it's not so straightforward,
further.
Right? It's rather complex.
Unfortunately, it's not completely straightforward, right? But
right.
It'll, yeah. Consider 2018 will be the next go, the next time this has to be reauthorized.
Right. Well, thank you for that explanation. Someone had asked that earlier. Vince, another question for you. Question asks, how will county prices be determined for, say, barley and wheat? What's the process?
County prices in what context?
Under these new programs, as I understand the question.
Well, the county prices will not matter for ARC and PLC. It's the national average price over the crop year, as Johnson laid out. So these new programs are not like the loan rate program, where you have a loan rate price at the national level, but you have county-specific information. So the payments will be triggered on the basis of where, for the national average price, where it relates to, in the case of PLC, the reference price. Is it higher or lower, and by how much? For ARC, county crop yields will be valued to calculate the expected revenue using national average crop year prices. And then the current county yield or your own farm's yield will be valued at the national average price for the crop year. So the county price issue is not relevant to the implementation of ARC and PLC, and nor will it be relevant to the insurance program, SCO, which, as Jonathan pointed out, won't be implemented until 2015.
Okay, another point here, Vince, since we have you up, clarifying perhaps a point you made earlier. The question asks, did you say that farmers must choose between updated base acres versus the update of their program yields?
No, you choose between keeping what you have now versus your updated yields and base acres using a five-year average for the yields and a four-year average for the acres you plant.
All right, great. Jonathan, this is another question perhaps you've got a little bit of insight on. The questioner asks, why is there such a penalty on ARC between county at 85% to the farm 65% levels?
Yeah, that's, so I think part of it goes back to what what Dr. Smith was saying is that you've got just from the congressional sort of how to put the farm bill together and dealing with all the budgetary aspects and how the Congressional Budget Office estimates a program will cost, when you're dealing with the individual yields on a farm at this high end, at this 85, 86, up to some of the original proposals with 90%, that becomes extraordinarily expensive because it triggers a lot more, and it's going to trigger more often and often, and as well as triggering bigger payments. And so when you move from the county to the individual, that gets more costly. And so in order to afford the programs, then there had to be a reduction in the individual program. And so it pays on 65% of the base acres, but it includes all of the program crops on the farm. It's not a commodity-by-commodity situation, whereas the ARC county pays 85% of the base acres for each individual commodity. So the programs are designed slightly different, and the best answer I can give is that it gets very costly when these kind of programs are set at the farm level, and that's why you see that differential.
All right. Well, thank you for that explanation. I think that helps quite a little bit. And I want to thank all.
Well, can I just throw in a comment here, John?
Yes, you may.
This is also politics. A senator from my state heavily pushed for the individual ARC yield, and really forced the issue. But others from other states were really not comfortable with the individual yield program. So there's a great deal of. There was a lot of force trading going on within the committees, and this is a comment which I'm happy to make as a worthless old tenured full professor. In some ways, within the Senate committee in particular, and the House committee, the real push was to put was for the price loss coverage program, and or a county-level ARC. And there was a lot less interest beyond two or three major players in the game in the ARC. And at the end, you get a large discount. And it's not irrelevant that Senator Baucus has stepped out of the Senate, and people knew he was going to be stepping out of the Senate when the final decisions were made. I don't expect Jonathan to comment on that, but I think there's a lot of that going on.
Well, clearly it's a very political process all the way around. And
absolutely.
And yet, for folks on the ground out in the country, we need to make decisions as best we can and as best as we can understand the ins and outs of what has been written. So I want to thank all three of you again for your excellent comments and insights. I think it really helps to better understand what exactly has gone on within the bill, as well as setting the stage for not only webinars that we have upcoming, but also those that others will be sponsoring. So in the interest of time, and I apologize, we have a number of other really good questions that have come in from the audience. We'll try to get those answered and posted to the Ag and Uncertain webpage that we've noted the URL for, and I'll be offering a link here to in just a second to provide, again, some more insights as the speakers are able to provide in responses to those. But we mentioned at the beginning that this is a series. This webinar is just the first of a series that's beginning on the 2014 Farm Bill. Nathan mentioned these dates, March 17, March 24, March 31, and April 7 going forward, where we intend to try to cover in a little more detail what can be covered at the present time with what knowledge we have about the dairy margin program, livestock disaster programs, commodity programs, and specifically crop insurance there, conservation title, the number of implications, as well as the HORT, beginning farmer programs, and then finally touching on the nutrition title and the food policy programs with the last webinar. We'd also like to hear from you about other topics, anything that we've touched on today or other presentations you might like to see us try to host. You can offer those in the chat window there at the left, or we certainly would welcome your emails sent to information@farmmanagement.org. Again, any ideas that you might have for webinar topics. As mentioned earlier, the recordings and other information associated with this webinar, as well as a host of other webinars that have been pre-recorded and posted to the Ag and Uncertain Times website, are available at the URL on your screen. If you're interested in a copy of today's presentation slides, they are also available for download at that website. And finally, we've mentioned a whole host of different URLs. Both the speakers have included some, as well as some of our comments. And we have tried to capture those and put those into a file pod that's now on your screen. So you have a single reference for that information. You may download that now by simply clicking on the file name and then choosing the Save to My Computer button at the bottom, and that'll bring a copy local to your machine. Let me close by again extending our express thanks to all of today's speakers for their first-class presentations, providing an overview of the 2014 Farm Bill. I want to thank also our Ag and Uncertain Times team and the other assisting folks that have helped to sponsor this webinar, as well as to make the technology possible. We'd also like to thank all of you participants in today's webinar conference. We sincerely hope that you find today's content of value in your work. We hope to see you again in one of our upcoming webinars. Until then, we offer you our hope for success in meeting the challenges of today's uncertain times. And with that, for Ag in Uncertain Times, I'm John Hewlett.